Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
To your perspective of what the world calls failure is what determines your response and reaction to it. And that in turn will determine the outcome. We need to look at failure from the other angle. Because to so many persons, failure is an end. To so many persons, failure is a stop. But if we can learn to look at failure from the angle of God, from the perspective of God, then it will affect our response. It will affect our reaction to it. You know, when God asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham didn't discuss with Sarah, but he took the boy away to be sacrificed. Has it ever crossed your mind what must have been in Abraham's mind? If I get this boy and sacrifice him, what will I say to my wife when I return? Abraham should certainly have something to say when he returns. So he took the boy and went and was about to sacrifice him when God halted that and replaced Isaac with a ram. But if you read the book of Hebrews, you get a better picture of what Abraham did. The Bible said that Abraham received Isaac in shadow. So as far as the Isaac on the wood is concerned, Abraham was already sure that when I return back, I can give to God this Isaac, but God, you will be able to give to me what I will explain to Sarah when I get back home. One thing I know, that I'll be living here not without this boy. So God, anyhow you want to do it, you do it. I'll give you what you want, but you should also be able to give to me what I want, so that when I get back home, I won't have problems with my wife. So he actually received Isaac in a shadow while he was sacrificing him. So when you look at failure, what do you see? Do you see an end to a journey? Or can you say, well, this is just a stopover. The journey will continue. God, while creating the earth, had the earth void, formless, shapeless, and so much water body. But God was not deterred. So your reaction to failure, your reaction to disappointment determines your outcome to it. Jesus was in the inner part of the boat, very well asleep. And the disciples were reacting to the storm with so much fear and despair. For them, they were not sure of what was going to happen. In fact, most of them had already concluded that they were going to die. And then they remember they had Jesus with them. So Peter ran to Jesus and said, "You don't care that we perish?" Because as far as Peter and others were concerned, that was a damaging occurrence that wasn't going to preserve their lives. But Jesus knew that beyond the storm, there can be peace. So he was relaxed. So your reaction to certain events in life determines what you get out of it. There are some persons that ended up spending more money than they should have if they had relaxed a little bit. But because they reacted by impulse, they ended up on the losing side. But God wants to help us in the course of this study to understand that even when the thing is glaring at you, when the thing looks very real, that you can still get something good out of it. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, all things works together for good. So every child of God must learn to see the good in the bad thing that is happening. Must learn to unravel, to unearth the best in the situations that he or she is currently going through. Some people see failure as an end to their journey. And so they believe nothing good would ever come out of them or whatever situation they consider as failure. As a result of that, they may even excuse themselves from opportunities that would have brought good to them. Because for them, they are thinking it won't happen again, or it's already too late. You have attempted an examination 4 times and it didn't work. And you have an opportunity to do it the 5th time. You say, there's no point. I don't even want to do it because I know it will not work. Also, failure never leaves you the same way. Failure will either leave you flat on the ground or will become a stepping stone for you unto greatness. Failure has never left anyone the same. Failure will either keep you permanently flat on the ground, or failure can become a stepping stone unto greatness, depending on your perspective of what it is. And then we ask, what then is failure? I mentioned number one, failure is an event. Failure is an event, and you must consider it as an event, because an event is something that starts, has a beginning, and definitely has an end. The first thing you must understand about failure is that it is only an event while you are a person, and that means that you are superior to failure, because an event is simply an occurrence. It only comes to pass, not to stay. So when you see failure around your life, regard it as a passerby and don't let it stick to you. Instead of allowing your life to pass with failure, let failure pass. Praise God. Another thing we must understand about failure is that failure is an experience. Failure is an experience. There are 2 factors to consider when failure or tragedy occurs. Number one, the substance or things you may have lost, such as money, properties, relationship, and all of that. Number two, the experience. When tragedy occurs, or when failure comes, there are 2 things involved. Number one, the losses or damages recorded in the course of the tragedy, in the course of the event, in the course of the failure. Yes, you failed an examination, so you had to repeat a class. Or you never succeeded in an interview, so you had to remain jobless for a while. You actually wanted to buy a property and you didn't have enough money, and someone else had gotten the property. So you remain without that property, so you have the pain of that loss. Those are some of the things that comes with failure and tragedy. But not just that alone, because most time we dwell so much on the losses, on the damages, on the pains, on the setbacks and the disappointment. But there is another side of it called the experience. There is so much you can learn when you are down. There is so much you can know when you are down. There is so much you can gather when you are almost out, so that when you get at the top, you will know how to be sustained there. So there is the experience part. Many people focus on the losses rather than the experience. they ought to gain from their situation. And that is why they lose heart. You know, scripture said in Nahum chapter 1, affliction shall not rise up the second time. And in most cases, affliction have risen up over and over again. Could it be that the scripture is broken? Could it be that the scripture is not true? Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. When an affliction comes once, we should be able to learn from it so that to guide against it occurring or reoccurring again. But you know, many times we are so affected by the affliction or by the failure or by the experience that we lose or let down our guards. And in so doing, we forget to learn the things we ought to have learned. And failure to do so will amount to incapacity to face the next storm that will come. Experience is the sum total of events that occurs in somebody's life. It's sum total, a summary of the events, a summary of the occurrences that has occurred, that have taken place in someone's life. Put them together and it is called an experience. And sometimes the more experienced somebody is, the more stable and steady the person is. You know, because experience has a way of giving you confidence and stability. When you see what you have seen before, you don't get scared like someone who hasn't seen it before. You know it, you are aware. But the man who has never seen it before can be so scared that out of fear, he or she can make major mistakes. So we must learn to get the knowledge, the wisdom from everything. I'm not sure Job would have been able to write up to 10 chapters in his wealth. But as a result of his affliction and pain, his life alone gave 42 chapters in the book of Job. Amen. That's experience. So if you ever meet Job and then tell him, this is what I'm going through, he will tell you, wait, it's just for a moment. Good will come out of it. If you are traveling with your little child to a distance, a far distance, or to a place that child has never been before, while the child is worried because of the duration of the journey, you are relaxed and confident because you know you will be there. And so most time the child is asking, Daddy, we haven't got there. He said, don't worry, we are very close. You are relaxed. But the child is agitated. He's not sure. He hasn't been there before. He doesn't know where the journey will end. Have you ever been on a bike or in a taxi going to an unknown destination that you only depend on the man who is driving you to get you there? You don't know where you are going. You only told him, this is where I am going. I was asked to take a taxi or a bike and I will be taken to the place. And then on the bike or right inside the taxi, just you alone. And then the person is taking you through a very narrow path. So many things will come into your mind. Is he really taking me to where I'm going? Or he has something different in his mind? In fact, there is how you stay on for a long time and you are not getting inside of the place, you can tell the person, can you take me back? I don't want to proceed. Because you are not sure of where you are going. But the man who knows the place keeps telling you, don't worry, we'll soon be there. He's relaxed. He's comfortable. That's what experience does. Amen. So that's why many times you hear people say, experience is the best teacher. But I have disputed it before. I say experience is a good teacher, but it's not the best teacher. Because you may not have to experience everything before you learn. Instruction is a better teacher than experience. Praise God. Instruction is a better teacher. You don't need to get your fingers burnt before you know that fire hot. All you just need to do is to ask those who have had encounter with fire before, what does fire do to people's body? And they will tell you, this is what fire can do. So anytime you see fire, you just remember that fire hot. So you may never have to get your fingers burnt. Praise God. So when failure comes, understand is an event, and then learn. A wise man once says that when you fall to the ground, don't rise up except you pick something. When you are rising up from your fall, do what? Pick something from the spot. So that anytime you come along that area, you will remember. Like Jacob had an experience, an encounter, while he was going to Laban's house for his sojourn. And scripture said he woke up and carried the stone that he used to raise his head, anointed the stone and said, this was the place of God, or this is the place of God, and I knew not. Anointed the stone and planted the stone as a pillar. I said, every time I pass this direction, I'm just going to remember this experience. He called the place Bethel. So every time Jacob was going to pass around that area, he will remember that I met an angel here. I had a divine encounter here. That's what experience does. So don't only focus on the losses. You had an investment and you lost almost all your money. The big question is, what did you learn in that? Because if you didn't learn anything, you are going to gather more money and you are bound to lose it somewhere. Amen. I said to us before that in a man's life, there are two places, major places, you can deposit something, in the hand and in the heart. Whatever is in the hand will get finished if it is not in the heart. But if you put something in the heart, no matter how empty the hand is, it's a matter of time, the hand will be filled up. Because a man's life is a product of his thought. So when you have something in your heart, it will affect the quality of what your hand handles. So the heart is a very important place in a man's life. And that's why the book of Proverbs said, guard your heart diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. The things that will determine the quality of your life will come out of your heart. So a full hand is not equal to a good life, but a full heart is almost equal to a good life. Praise God. A man shall be satisfied with the words of his mouth. And as the heart thinketh, the mouth speaks. Amen. So rather than having a big pocket, can you have a big heart first? Rather than having a swollen head, can you have a big heart? Because if the heart is big enough, it can deal with side issues. Many times we are so failure conscious that we forget about the wisdom embedded in us. For every child of God, there is nothing you should go through without actually learning something from it. Because it is the wisdom that will become the treasures that you have. Praise God. The Bible said that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. The Joseph that became a prime minister was not the same Joseph in his father's house. In his father's house, he could report his brothers to his father and said, I don't like the way they are behaving in the field. But after he went through what he went through, he learned so much that in the prison, when he saw two persons who were not having the best of mood, he had to walk to them and said to them, you are not looking happy. What's the matter? What help can I be to you? So your experiences in life should be able to give you advantage. If you don't learn the things you need to learn in the first affliction, you are likely opening the way for the second one to occur. When the second one comes, the damages may be more disastrous than the first. Praise God. Now, for instance, the story of Abraham Lincoln. He was one of the greatest presidents America ever had. But the story says that he started failing at the age of 32. He failed woefully in business. He went into politics and lost at 5 different levels in that process. His business failed twice. His wife died. In the midst of all this, he was asked what he planned to do next. He said he would still contest for the position of the vice president. Praise God. He did it and he failed again. Yet he refused to call it failure. Rather, he said he was gaining experience. Then he contested for the presidency and won and became the president of America at the age of 60. Praise God. Now imagine you contesting at the level of a counselor. You didn't succeed. Move on to contest as a local government chairman. Still failed. And then you are contesting again as a state house representative. It didn't work. From there, he said, let me try my hands on the federal constituency. It didn't work. And then you say, okay, let me try to be a senator. It still ended up a failure. And then it's okay, let me give a shot at being the vice president. It still didn't work. I'm sure that that was enough to have made that man to say, well, let me bow out of politics. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David was to confront Goliath. He didn't pick one stone, he picked 5. And as far as David is concerned, he was going to make use of the 5. That's what it is. Ability to see things the way they are. That the fact that I failed yesterday doesn't mean that I'm a failure. The fact that things are not working for me does not mean that things will never work for me. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall return, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, Jesus was saying, when the solution to your problem comes, when the healing comes, will I still find you praying? Because consistency gives birth to many things good. He contested and failed, contested and failed, contested and failed. At the 4th time, they asked him, now that you have failed, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going for the next position. Now, for Abraham Lincoln, if I failed here, maybe this wasn't for me. Let me try the other one. How come that because you couldn't succeed in selling kerosene, you feel you'll be a failure at fuel? Because you couldn't succeed in selling fuel, you feel you are going to be a failure in water? Have you heard this word before? There's no harm in trial. Praise God. Yes, there's simply no harm in trial. But you also have to know that every trial will cost you something. Amen. If it doesn't cost you money, it will cost you time, it will cost you energy. But there's no harm. Every failed attempt is an experience added. Every failed attempt is an experience added. And over a period of time, this sum total of your experience can give you advantage over another person. Amen. If you see a brilliant student who just came out of school, graduated with a first class, very intelligent, and then you see a man who maybe have never attended a university, but have worked in a certain area in an organization for a number of years and have acquired experience. And then a company is looking for who to hire that will have an immediate impact. They are not going to hire the fresh graduate with a first class degree. They are going to go for the man who doesn't have the degree but has acquired the requisite experience, because what they are looking for is immediate impact. And so most times, experience pays more than intelligence. Amen. There are people who are working in certain organizations and the money they earn is far, far higher than those who have higher certificate and degree in the same organization. It's the experience. When a man is loaded with experience, he can be choosy. He can be selective. He walks into your organization and says, "Can you hire me? This is the price for me, for my service. If you need it, you call me." Praise God. They don't go for interview, they only go for negotiations. Amen. No, because you don't even need to interview them. They have what you are looking for, so they are only coming on the negotiation table. Can you give this? And so, never downplay on experience. Learn as much as you can learn per time, per face, per event, per situation. So everything that you go through in life, before you move into the next phase, ask yourself, have I learned anything from this? Praise God. You were discussing with somebody and then tempers rose, and before you know it, he gave you a slap, and then before you could say another thing, he gave you another slap. The question is, have you learned from it? Because if you have not learned from it, it could happen again and again. Praise the Lord. That man that failed at 5 levels of election finally succeeded at the highest level. At the age of 60, he got it. Now, that's not to justify failure, but it's important for us to understand that it is never final, no matter what extent of damage that might have been done. Now, that's not to say, well, if you fail, you need to jump up and begin to celebrate and say, "Thank God I have failed, so I've gathered experience." No. The fact that failure comes with experience is not something we should be praying for. And so, "God, make me fail so that I can be experienced." But it's just to let you know that failure is not final. You can actually get something better out of it. You see, until the insects begin to perch on flowers, those flowers are not pollinated. Amen. But you don't like that. But that's what is needed. Samson killed the lion, and then it wasn't too long. The beast came, and from the dead lion came out the honeycomb. And there was so much enjoyment in it. Jesus said, "Except a seed of corn falls into the ground, decays, it will not comfort." So we must allow for that period of falling, decaying, and then getting the best out of it. When something is lost, let it remain lost. Otherwise, you may get lost with it. You know, sometimes we allow ourselves to be taken, swallowed, overwhelmed by our experiences, that we are demobilized from moving. Just an event, somebody can stay for 5 months. That one event has almost grounded you. 5 months, you can't do anything. Praise the Lord. For 5 months, you are just there, still crying, still sorrowing. You lost a wife, as painful as that could be. That doesn't mean that you should also lose your job and lose your happiness alongside with it. Amen. You can move on from there. You can take the next step and say, "Okay, this has occurred. What next do I do?" And you move on. You know, Solomon said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, trying to let you know that whatever is left is better than what is lost. So, rather than brood over what is lost, can you make use of what is left? What is left is better than what is lost. Praise God. So, take care of the bed that is in your hand, rather than fantasizing for the ten that you have not seen. Most times, don't allow losses in your life to pull you away. Hey, this was the only job I had. This was the only hope I have. Now that I've lost it. In fact, let me go back to the village. And then you go back to the village and begin to drag chieftaincy title. And in 2 years' time, you are down with stroke. Praise God. You could have stayed back. When it is lost, don't be lost with it. Fight on. You know, I read something in 2 Samuel chapter 4. When the Philistine had a fight with the Israelite. The Israelites were being defeated and they became afraid and sent for the ark of God. And then they went and brought the ark of God. When they brought the ark of God, there was so much joy and excitement in the camp of Israelite, because they knew that the arrival of the ark of God was going to signal their victory over their enemy. So there was a lot of shouting and jubilation. And the Philistines heard it from their own camp. They heard the shouting, the jubilation. And the Philistines say, "We understand this shout. They have brought their ark. We are all dead." That was the Philistines. They were thinking. They said, "They have brought their ark. We know when they shout like this, that ark has been brought. And anytime that ark arrives, every other person is in trouble." But they said, "Fight for your lives. Fight for your wives. Fight for your children." So they braced up, the Philistines. They braced up. They put on courage and went ahead and said, "Let us fight this thing to a finish." And they fought the Israelites. They didn't just defeat them, but they seized the ark. They carried the ark. So in that excitement, they had to carry the ark and donated the ark to their God. I said, "We never thought this would be possible. But for us to have defeated this man with their ark, our God must be a stronger God." Praise God. So what I'm trying to say is that don't be fast to give up. You know, sometimes you are studying as a student. Just one topic you studied like 3-4 times, you are not getting it. You feel so discouraged, you close the book. Rather than jump over, close the book, put it under your pillow, put your head on it, sleep, wake up, carry it, open it again. The thing refuses to enter, put it under the pillow again. Until it enters, don't pass. Because if you give up on it, it will be clear to you in the examination hall. Praise God. You can actually learn it. Whatever is written in a book can be learned by any human being. It's just that the time available for us to learn it is not the same for everybody. Somebody can learn it in 2 minutes. Another person will need 2 hours. Another person will need 2 days. Another person will need 2 weeks. Another person will need 2 years. But whoever you are, you can actually grab that thing. But are you willing to put in the time needed? Rather than begin to compare yourself with another person, can you just do the work? Praise God. Amen. Thomas Edison, who invented electric bulb, is said to have performed the experiment 999 times before he got it right. And when he was asked how many times he failed, he said, "I didn't fail any time. I only discovered how many ways it couldn't be done." Amen. Now you are trying to get something and you are doing it for 999 times. That's a long time of not getting it right. But he kept doing it. He kept doing it. Now, one thing I've discovered, that everyone who got something very meaningful in life spent time doing it. Amen. You know, sometimes people that are humorous, comedian, when they see somebody very handsome, somebody very beautiful, they say, God spent time to create you. God took time. Praise God. So that means that everything good takes time. If it's going to come out good, if it's going to come out great, it takes time. And anything that comes out before its time does not have attraction. If a baby will not want to wait in his mother's womb for 9 months, the baby say, me, I don't want to wait for 9 months. I'm coming out at 6. No problem. Come out. When the baby comes out at 6, the reaction of people will let him know that he came too early. Praise God. So when the baby comes out at 6 months, they call it premature. So in fact, you are not being permitted to be carried. They just confined you in one box here with the light. Praise God. They say, since you refuse to stay in the womb until your time, stay in the box with this light. Praise God. And you discover that you are still in confinement. Nobody's bathing you. Nobody's breastfeeding you. You are still there. It would have been better in the womb. So next time, if the baby is coming, he will tell other children. They say, anytime you arrive the womb, make sure you stay 9 months because it's better there. Praise God. So are you willing to put in the time to wait? So Thomas Edison said, well, I didn't fail. I only discovered how many times, how many ways I couldn't do it. You know, sometimes you can actually be very comic about life situation. Rather than getting too serious with everything, you can actually look at the light side of things and laugh a little bit. Praise God. The thing is supposed to make you angry. The thing is supposed to make you very, very tense. But you just look at it from the lighter side and laugh. And then it goes. Learn to laugh and move on. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.